It's my pleasure this morning to introduce Liam Branigan to us. You may not all have had the opportunity to have met Liam, even if you're an established member of Grace Church. Liam and Holly joined us just a couple of months ago. They moved from Blaise Church in Newquay to Grace Church Truro, and they're living down in Falmouth, where they're leading one of our Falmouth midweek community groups. This is the first time that Liam's preaching at Grace Church. It would be great to encourage him and welcome him. So can we do that now? And Liam, I'd love to pray for you.
Awesome.
You. Father, we thank you for this man, for his wife Holly, for their children Queenie and Jarvis. We're so pleased that they're with us. We're so delighted to have them as part of the Grace Church family. We pray, would you have your hand on Liam this morning? We ask that as he explains your word to us this morning, that you would take your truth straight to our minds and hearts. Would you not only inform us, but would you transform us? Lord, we pray this morning that you would take ownership of this time, that Liam's words would be your words to us this morning. Lord, and we pray that all of us would be open and receptive to everything that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brilliant. Thanks, Andrew. And thanks for a very warm welcome. It's great. So as a church, we have just finished going through a series in Philippians. It's called Christ Central. And the big theme in that series, the big theme through Philippians, was basically along the lines of Jesus is amazing. Jesus is brilliant. Jesus is better than anything else.
Amen.
And we must put him central to everything that we are. We must put him central to everything that we do. He must be central. And Andy Arscott finished off that series last week, and he kind of summed up this whole idea. He was talking about ripples of influence, and he was saying about how we must be influenced by God in order that we might influence other people. And he kind of finished off by saying, and how do we do that? How do we be influenced by God? How do we get there? And the answer, he says, we have to get to know him. We have to know God. You see, when we become Christians, there are so many amazing, great things that happen in that moment. We've been singing about many of them. We've been kind of hearing about some of them this morning. You know, we get saved, we're rescued, we're adopted, we're forgiven, we're made new creations, and so on. But then, when we become Christians, now that is all true of us, all those things are true, now we get to know him. Now we have to get to know him. We must get to know the one who's adopted us. We've got to get to know the one who's saved us, who's rescued us. We must get to know him, we must deepen our relationship with him so that we grow, so that we mature, or so that, as Ephesians 4 puts it, that we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's the end game, that we become like Jesus. That's where we're headed. And so right now, we have to walk with him. We have to get to know him. We have to walk with Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different ways in which we can practically deepen our relationship with Jesus. And this morning, I'm looking at one way in which we can do that. Looking at one way in which we can practically deepen our relationship, deepen our walk with Jesus. And so I'm looking at prayer this morning. Before I do that, I'm going to pray. And it's always a bit funny when I'm kind of talking about prayer and then I'm going to pray. I feel like you're going to judge me on how I pray now. But I'm okay with that. Father God, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for what we've been singing about this morning. Thank you that you are glorious. Thank you that you're the Holy One. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Lord, that we walked away from you. We turned our back to you and you came after us. And you loved us and you died for us, Jesus. Thank you for your grace that's come upon us, that we are now rescued. We're in a relationship with you, Lord, and thank you that you call us into a deeper relationship. Thank you that you know us, and you want us to get to know you. Lord, you call us to deepen our relationship with you. And Lord, as we look this morning at prayer, I pray that that not only would we kind of walk away with kind of practical ways in which we can deepen our prayer life, but actually we would individually enter into a new depth of relationship with you through our prayer life. Lord, that we would encounter you in new ways. I pray as a church, we would deepen our relationship with you and know you more, know more about you, and we would pray differently, Lord. We would enter into a new kind of praying with you. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at prayer this morning, and the whole kind of point of these next few weeks, they're supposed to be very practical. So I'm going to be speaking for a little bit, then I'm going to get a couple of people up here and just chat about how this works out in their life. And so I have to kind of go a bit quickly through some stuff, but that's okay. So prayer then. Prayer, if we look at it kind of broadly, what is prayer? What are we doing when we pray? Fundamentally, prayer, we're communicating, aren't we? We're communicating with God. We're talking to him. And it's important to note that Christians didn't invent prayer. Jesus didn't come and say, oh, I've got this new thing I want you to try out. It's called prayer. Actually, people pray all the time. And people can pray to a deity, to a god. They can pray to a spirit. They can pray to deceased people. They pray to lofty ideas. They even pray to sports teams. You know, if you're sitting on your sofa watching football and you're saying, yeah, go on, glory, glory. I'm not a football fan, really, so. But as Christians, prayer for us is communication with God, that we deliberately talk to God. Prayer is that we, created, sinful, fallen human beings, communicate with the eternal, holy, perfect Creator God. That's crazy. That's what prayer is. But the thing that we can fall into very easily is a kind of a very self-centered prayer life, where actually everything we pray for is all about me, it's all about getting stuff, it's all about making my life better. If you think about anything that you've prayed about recently, I know, and I do, it's pretty much all about, I want this, and this will make my life better, so can you do it? Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, the Bible encourages us to pray like that. It says, ask and you will receive. It says, if you ask anything in my name, you'll be given. So we're encouraged to come to God and ask him for stuff and to help us. But actually, the biblical purpose of prayer is so much greater than that. It's so much bigger than that. It's more than just getting stuff. It's more than just making my life better. So what is it? What is prayer? Why do we pray? Firstly, we pray because we are in a relationship. We pray because we're in relationship with God. See, he's rescued us, he's saved us, he's adopted us, he's brought us into his family, and now we're in a relationship with God. And because we're in a relationship with God, we have to communicate with him. I mean, we understand this on a kind of a very human level. Any sort of human relationship counselor would say, in relationships, the most important thing is communication. We have to communicate. They say that communication is to a relationship what oxygen is to life. Without it, it dies. And so we are in a relationship with God, and therefore, we have to communicate with him. We communicate with him in order to get to know him. There's a reason why I talk to my wife, why I try and communicate with her, because I want to get to know her. So we pray because we're in relationship. We pray because we want to get to know God. We want to get to know who he is, what he's about, how his heart works, you know, what's on his mind, what he wants to do, his will. We want to pray, we want to get to know him. So we pray because we're in a relationship. We pray to get to know God, and also we pray because it works. Because it works. Because when we pray, something happens. Charles Spurgeon, who was a great preacher from a long time ago, says this. He says, the power of prayer can never be overrated. He said, this is the sinew which moves the arm of omnipotence. If a man can but pray, he can do anything. He says that prayer is the sinew, the kind of the ligament that moves the arm of omnipotence, of the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God. Now, I'm not going to lie, I don't really understand how all that works. What does that mean? But the truth is that when we pray, God responds. When we pray, we enter into kind of God's heart, and he listens to us, and he responds. And so when we pray, things happen. Prayer works. So we pray because we're in relationship. We pray because we want to get to know God. We want to find out his heart. We want to get to know him on a deeper level. We pray because it works and things happen when we pray. But the question is then, how do we pray? What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to talk? What do I say? And actually, Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him this question. They said, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus responds, and his answer is what we now call the Lord's Prayer. He answered that, and many of you will probably know the Lord's Prayer. Many of you maybe had to recite it kind of every day at school when you were growing up. You probably know it off by heart. Even if you don't know it off by heart, if I was to say to you, Our Father in heaven, you probably know what comes next. Even if you don't, you know it exists. But the question is, do we know what it means? Do we know what it's talking about? I've found that as I have kind of looked at the Lord's Prayer and really I'm trying to grapple with what Jesus is actually telling us, it has totally transformed the way I pray. Totally transformed it. It's changed my perspective. It's changed everything. I pray differently because of this. And this morning, I haven't got time to go through the whole prayer and kind of look at what Jesus is saying in every line, but what I want to look at is just the first few lines that Jesus says. And as I said, this has totally changed the way I pray, and it has really helped me to enter into a deeper relationship with God and get to know him more. So that's what I want to look at, just very quickly. So the Lord's Prayer starts off by Jesus sort of says, look, when you pray, don't try and be like don't try and be someone. Don't try and heap up these empty phrases so that you think you'll be heard with your many words. Don't do that. All right? Don't stand on street corners and try and get some attention. Don't do that. Instead, Jesus says, pray like this. And he starts off and says, Our Father in heaven. Now immediately, Jesus is talking about who God is. And how he relates to us and who we are in him. He says, Our Father in heaven. He's our Father. So immediately he's saying, this is who God is. He's our Father. And we're his children. And I always think, I think about my daughter, when she wants something from me, she doesn't kind of worry about where I am or what I'm doing. She doesn't mind if I'm busy. Wherever she is in the house, she just shouts out, Daddy! Can you do this? Daddy, I want this. Come on, Daddy, can you just come and do this? Right? She's not bothered about what I'm up to. She's not bothered if I'm busy. If I'm in a room, she doesn't care who else is in there. She'll just walk in, come up to me and say, Daddy, can I have that? Right? And that's great because that is how a child interacts with her dad. It's not like a kind of an Oliver Twist kind of thing where we're kind of quivering and saying, please, sir, can I have... It says, no, he's our father. He's our dad. And he's not just our dad, but he's our dad in heaven. Now, I'm a dad. I'm an earthly dad. I have limits. There are things that I can't do. I've got to go to work. I can't be at home with my daughter and my son and at work at the same time. I get tired. There are some things that my daughter asked me to do which are physically impossible. I just cannot do it. I have limits. But our Father in heaven, he doesn't have limits. He's our dad in heaven. He's the creator God. He's the one who made all of this. He's the one who spoke it into being. He's the one who sustains everything, who holds it in his hands. He's our dad in heaven. And so Jesus says, whenever we pray, we must come to God with this mindset that he is our Father in heaven. Now this verse is one of my favorite verses. If not my favorite verse. And I'll try to explain what really kind of captivates me about it. See, Jesus, if you read Jesus' prayers through the gospel, right, if you read any of his prayers, he always prays, Father. That's how Jesus prays. He says, Father. Okay. In fact, the only time Jesus doesn't say that is when he's on the cross and he says, My God, why have you forsaken me? Which is kind of a whole point in itself. But whenever Jesus prays, he says, My Father. Now that's not really groundbreaking, that's quite obvious. Why does he pray that? Because he's the son. My daughter calls me dad. Does anybody else here call me dad? No, because I'm not your dad, right? That's very straightforward. But by nature, naturally, human beings are not children of God. Ephesians 2 says this is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's what Ephesians says. So it's talking to Christians about what it was like before they were Christians. If you are here and you're not a Christian, this is a biblical description of you. A child of wrath. But the chapter carries on and it says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, because of what Jesus has done, because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, we are made alive with him. We are in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus can say to us, as he does in Matthew chapter 6, you pray like this, our Father. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we've been singing about this morning. That we are children of God. I am a child of God. And my relationship with God is not kind of independent of Jesus, but actually it's dependent on Jesus' sonship. And we enter into Jesus' relationship with his Father. We enter into it and we share in Jesus' inheritance as the Son of God. And fundamentally, this is how we can pray. This is how we can have access to the Father. This is why we have access, how we can so boldly approach him. Because we are brought into a relationship, because we are saved. We are adopted. We are children of God. Now it goes on, so he says, Father in heaven. Then he says, hallowed be your name. Now very quickly, this is basically Jesus saying, may your name be made great. That's what hallowed be your name means. May your name be made great. May you be glorified, God. And fundamentally, this is the very point of existence. This is kind of the whole point that we exist. The very point that humans exist is to bring God glory. That's what everything is about. And so Jesus wants us to get that mindset at the very beginning. It's about getting our priorities straight. That this is not about me. None of this is about me. It's all about him. It's all about God. And he goes on and says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's saying that what we want is the kingdom of God on earth, where God is ruling and he's reigning, and people are bowing the knee before him. That's what we want to see. We want to see God's will done, what God wants to happen. That's what we want to see. And then again, through these lines, Jesus is kind of putting that mindset in us that whenever we come and pray, we're looking to God and saying, it's all about you. It's all for you. It's all about you, God. And the Lord's Prayer kind of goes on. And what I have found is when I pray with that sort of a mindset, it totally changes things. So one example is when we moved to Falmouth, we really felt God called us to Falmouth. And I kind of felt confidence, God's going to sort us out, he'll find a house, we'll move there, it'll be quite straightforward. But then what happened was, as we were trying to find somewhere to live, there was just nothing. There was nowhere. I was going to right move like every day, like, is there any houses for rent? Nothing. And it kind of went on, and it got to a point where I kind of actually started to get a little bit kind of like, oh, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen, we're never going to move. Maybe this is wrong. There's no houses, we're not going to be able to move. But then what I decided to do is when I read this and it got me and I prayed along these lines. And when you start praying like this, I was going, right, God, you thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are the King of Kings, that you created everything. Thank you that you created Falmouth. That's your town. You made it. Lord, thank you that you sustain it. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm adopted. You brought me in, even though I don't deserve it. Lord, you saved me. Now I'm your child. Thank you, Lord. Immediately, I'm thinking, actually, my big problem with the house is getting a bit smaller. I'm saying, God, I want to see you glorified. That's what I want to see. Lord, I want to see you made much of in Falmouth. I want to see you glorified in Falmouth. That's what I want to see. That's what you want to see. You want to see you glorified in Falmouth. Actually, just sort me out of the house. Just sort it out. But that is how my attitude changed, my priorities changed. And it's important to say that actually, we don't necessarily have to pray it like that. You know, it's not kind of we have to say it verbatim every time we pray. Say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." But actually, it's kind of a model that Jesus gives us. We don't even have to say anything along those lines, but actually it's a mindset that we have. But when we come to God, we come to him as our Father, and he's in heaven, he's limitless, and it's all about his glory, and it's all for him, and we want what he wants, we want his will to come, we want his kingdom to come. So you don't have to say that. You can kind of come straight in and ask for something. Kind of say, "God, would you do this?" But it's about a mindset that we have. And so we can pray in many ways, and we're going to find out some ways in a second of how a couple of people pray. We can pray kind of very short bullet prayers, as they're called, kind of very quick shooting prayers. We can pray longer prayers after we've read through his word, we've kind of examined it, and we kind of pray through it. We can pray through lists. We can pray on our own. We can pray with friends. We can pray as a couple. You can pray as a family. You can persevere in prayer, where we pray the same thing day after day. We can do worship prayers. We can do pouring out our heart prayers. We can do spontaneous prayers. We can do meditation prayers. We can do planned prayer, where we say, "This weekend, I'm going to go and pray." The main thing is that Jesus says, when you pray, so on. So it's expected that we pray. Jesus expects that we pray because we're in a relationship. And it is vital that we pray. It is vital that we pray. It's vital for our own walk with God. It is vital so that we mature, so that we grow, so we get to know him, we get his heart, we enter into a deeper relationship with him. And it's vital for the sake of the church. It is vital so that we mature, so that we grow up to the fullness, to the measure of the Son of God. It is vital. Now, just quickly, before I just get a couple of people up, it's worth just noting this, that although it is so important and it's expected we must do it, actually, if you ask anybody who's ever been a Christian kind of for any length of time about their prayer life, they will say it's hard, it's difficult. Prayer is difficult. We struggle to pray. It's worth just noting that. It is difficult. And why? Why do we struggle? Why is it so hard to pray sometimes? The answer is, there's three answers in the Bible. First answer is that we have an enemy. We have an enemy who hates God, who hates it when we pray. Our enemy knows more than we do how dangerous we are to him when we enter into a kind of a deep relationship with God. And so he doesn't want us to pray, and he's going to do everything he can to stop us praying. Secondly, we have what the Bible calls our flesh. We've got a new spirit, we're born again, regenerated spirit, but Galatians talks about how our body and our soul are in a war, and we're battling. And the kind of the default position for our flesh, for our body, is back to sin and is back to not praying. So we've got to fight against that. And also the third thing that Bob puts forward is the world, this world we live in. It's been under the influence of the enemy. It's been under the influence of Satan. It's set up to pull us away from God. Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. So actually to pray, when we pray, we are coming against these three things, and it's difficult, and we struggle. But the point is that we must press through. We have to press through in prayer because it's so important for us. It's so important for our walk with God. It's so important to get to know him. Now, what I want to do is just invite Bo and Paul Williams. Can you come up? And what I'm going to do is we're just going to talk to them quickly and see how they work this through in their life. Let's grab some chairs. It's important to note that I'm not bringing these guys up because they're professional prayers, and I think that they pray amazingly, but actually, they're just normal guys. They're just people. And so what I want to do is just ask them some questions about how they work this out in their life. Thank you guys for coming up.
No problems.
No problem.
The first question I wanted to ask is, on a personal level for you two, what would you say is, how would you say, what is prayer? How would you answer that question? Not kind of a theological answer, but on a personal level, what is prayer for you? Paul, do you want to start?
I think it... I mean, what can I add to what you've already said, really? Prayer is comes out of a personal relationship. Yes, I've got prayers, even in the front of my Bible, I've got some printed prayers. I've got the Methodist prayer that Andrew spoke about some years ago now, probably. I've got a lovely prayer in my father's handwriting. He's long dead now, but he gave me a prayer written out about leaning on the window of heaven first thing in the morning and surveying our Lord before we set out on the things of the day. So yes, I've got set prayers which I sometimes turn to. Not every day, but I sometimes turn to. But to me, prayer is a relationship. And Philippa and I probably spend more time together now than we've ever done because of circumstance. And I've got a very close relationship with Philippa. But I can honestly say that my relationship with God is deeper than that. Because I can talk to him anytime, any place, anywhere. I can share my fears, my joys, my sorrows, the good things, the bad things. I can share them all with him. And to me, that is prayer. And I feel passionately sometimes about the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters who are constantly being imprisoned or whatever because of their faith. And I think of one guy particularly who his job was to shovel the human excrement out of the pit each day whilst he was in prison in the Far East. And nobody would go near him because of the smell. But he said, he quoted from that song, which some of you may know, it's an old song, which says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." Nobody else would talk to him. Nobody else would come near him. But he had that relationship with God.
Great. What were you, mate?
I think for me, prayer is well, you can so easily think of prayer as kind of a one-sided thing. You pray to God, but prayer's a dialogue. You know, it's you talking to your father and your father talking to you. It's a dialogue. And it's also just this enormous privilege. And it's kind of really quite difficult to get your head around, I guess, at times, that you have this ability, you know, readily at hand to talk to the creator of the universe, just at any time. And I think how bonkers it is that you can kind of, you can video call someone the other side of the world, and I can talk to the creator of the universe. It's just, you know, it's just this enormous privilege to engage in dialogue with your father, and you know, as you were saying earlier, about actually getting to know them. You know, that's the point of talking to someone, is to get to know them better, to learn more of their heart and what they enjoy, what they love to do, and if you're in relationship with someone, you have shared interests with them, and so you kind of you understand and you learn more of that by talking to them and finding out that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a dialogue and it's just this enormous privilege.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do it? Like, do you have a routine that you kind of go through a set pattern every day? Do you have a kind of, was it a bit different to that? How do you enter into that relationship?
I would love to say that I have a routine, but I'm not an organized guy, so no, I'd struggle with that. I think I know a lot of people who have an organized routine. You know, they pray at specific times. I tend to pray when I think about doing it, you know, and it comes to me at kind of certain times. I now have kind of almost location-type prayers. So I'm a car prayer. I pray a lot in the car on my commute. I'm also a toilet prayer. which is a really good one. I'd encourage you to do it. And that happens at work. You know, I think it's really important to pray at work for the workplace. I do that on my toilet breaks. But I have no kind of, I don't have a kind of, you know, wake up, 8 o'clock, pray, anything like that. Because I know it works for some people, but I think for myself, I want kind of a conversational type prayer life. You know, yeah. I want to pray when I'm thinking about him. I want to talk to him. And I guess it's easier to do that just whenever it comes to you, I guess. So that's, yeah, I'm just kind of a not an organized prayer, but I, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Paul, I mean, you mentioned you've got some kind of in your front of your Bible, you've got some prayers. Do you go to those regularly, or and how else do you kind of?
I wouldn't say I go to them regularly. To some extent, I'm like Bo. I'm a slightly disorganized prayer, but the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. And to me, I think we should develop a life of prayer. Mm. In other words, that we pray all day, every day, when we're awake. And I sometimes get told off, well, Bo goes into the bathroom. I like to pray in the bath. And sometimes, occasionally, I sing in the bath until my wife knocks on the door and tells me off for disturbing the neighbours. But it's a life of prayer, and it's constantly, being open to circumstances, really, and sharing things that happen during the day, sharing situations. And I believe the Holy Spirit lays things on our hearts, lays people on our hearts. It's constantly happening to me. Names come into my head for no apparent reason. And it has to be the Holy Spirit that says to me, I want you to pray for so-and-so. And I do, because as I get older, my memory, I mean, Bo was making fun of my notes here. I don't remember things like I used to, but the Holy Spirit prompts me with names of people that I need to pray for. And sometimes it's at a very crucial point in that person's life when I pray for them. And we compare notes afterwards, and I said, oh yeah, I was praying for you at that particular moment.
Hmm. It's interesting you sort of talked about praying in the car, because I know that I work in Helston, live in Falmouth, so I've got like a 25-minute drive. And I remember when I first started that, I thought, I've got 25 minutes every day now, and then again from work, I can pray during that time. And I think I've probably started praying every journey, but they usually kind of go, oh, Lord God, thank you for... And then I get distracted by something else, and I can't pray in the car. I can't do it. But what have you found difficult? Has it been easy all the time, kind of pressing through?
I always remember, it sticks in my memory, because it was a strange situation. Many of you will know that I used to do a bit of part-time bus driving, and I used to enjoy that very much. And there were times when the bus was quite quiet, particularly in the winter months. And I just used the opportunity, as I was driving my bus along the road, to pray. And I got to the stage one day, I was praying for a particular situation, and I just ran out of human words. And that's where the Holy Spirit gives you his language, speaking in tongues. And I was I was driving along my bus speaking in tongues, and I think it got quite loud, because one or two of the passengers were sort of... looking at me a bit strangely. They didn't realise I was foreign, but that's amazing. Develop your spiritual language. Develop the tongue that the Holy Spirit gives you, because he gives you that language because you've run out of your own language. And it talks about groans that come from the Spirit, you know, like something deep within us. It's like a groaning that comes from within us because we can't put it into human words.
Hmm.
Question, yeah.
Struggling? No. I think the hardest thing for me around prayer has been kind of moving beyond just petitioning God for things. Just kind of, you know, my really, really early understanding of God was this kind of, like, genie in a lamp type thing. You know, you just go, you get on your knees, you clasp your hands at the foot of the bed, you ask God for whatever it is, a new bike or whatever, and like, you know, you wake up in the morning and there's the new bike. But that, you know, that's not, like you were saying earlier, you know, asking God for things is only part of the story, and that's been quite a progressive journey, and understanding or trying to move towards a more conversational type thing. You know, I remember walking into a kitchen once and seeing someone like just chuckling to themselves, and I was like, are you all right? What's going on? Oh, I was just telling a knock-knock joke to Jesus. And like just having that kind of that kind of a life where you can just talk to God about everything and you can just share everything that's going on with Jesus. And just moving beyond kind of asking for things or crying out to him when you're in need and forgetting him when you're not. Just to talk to him, to share life with him at all times, you know, in the good and the bad. That's what I found hardest. I guess the longer you stick at it, the easier that becomes. You know, it's a maturity thing, isn't it? You know, the closer you get to someone, the more you want to talk to them.
Yeah, that's great. And just very quickly then, can you give us an example of an answered prayer? Something that you've gone to God for and he's answered.
Well, we've had great blessing, Philippa and I, amongst our neighbours recently, because we've perhaps been more sort of homebound than usual. We've been reaching out to our neighbours, and I've already shared this with one or two people. There was a lovely couple living next door to us that we got really close to, and they were given notice. They were renting the house, and they were given notice to quit because the people who own the house wanted to sell it. And we were devastated, as they were devastated about this, because it was near the school and they loved being where they were and they loved being next door to us. I can't think why, but there you go. And we were all quite devastated. And she came in and quite heartbroken one day and shared it with Philippa. And Philippa said, well, can I pray with you about this? And which Philippa did. She's brilliant at doing that, far better than I am. But then we took it up as a couple to pray for the couple next door. And it got nearer and nearer to the moving out date, and they hadn't got anywhere. And then one day, another family at the far end of the close where we live moved out. And that was also a rented bungalow. And Kate came in one day and she said, it's been quite amazing. She said, I saw those people moving out. I got straight onto the agent and we've got it. And so they were able to stay in the close, and she said, Kate, even though she's not a Christian, she realized that was a great answer to prayer. And we've had another situation with another lady whose daughter was seriously ill with she had problems with her bowel system, which totally packed up, and we said to Judy that we would pray about the situation. And now that daughter is pretty much back to normal. And these are answers to prayer from people who don't necessarily feel they can pray themselves.
That's great. That's great. What do you mean?
I got a new job. that's been just the biggest answer to prayer, I think, for a long, long time. And it took about 2.5 years of praying. You know, and you can say answer to prayer, and your mind goes to something where you pray, and the next day it happens, or you know, an hour later, or something that's instant, or it's still fresh in the memory, and actually, yeah, I'd say it was about 2.5 years of me praying. Well, God, I hate this job. I need a new one. Give me a new job, and you know, it got so demoralizing. You know, a number of you kind of know how down I was about it, and it got to a point where, you know, I was sort of contemplating just upping and going back home. You know, going back home, fresh start, whatever. And you know, it took some words of counsel from people actually saying, well, you know, what's God's call on your life? What do you want to do? And And that changed how I was praying. You know, I stopped saying, God, give me a new job. I was like, God, thank you for the job that I've got. Thank you that I'm here in Falmouth. Thank you that, you know, I can be a part of what's happening here. I love getting caught up in what you're doing in Cornwall. I can see that being a lifetime. You know, and I didn't stop asking for a job, but it became, like you were saying, it just, the kind of scale of it, the priority just diminishes. Mm-hmm. And I was praying not just for a job, but for the right job. So I didn't just want to change jobs because I hated what I want. I wanted to go into the right job. I remember seeing this come up, and I said, God, is this the right one? And he was like, yeah. So I'd go for it, get the job, and... You know, it's all part of God's plan, and actually that length of time, although it just seems bonkers long now, there's such a journey in that, you know, learning patience and perseverance and understanding how His kingdom works and not just how we want things to work.
Hmm. Awesome.
Well, thank you guys so much for being willing to come and share.
Thank you.
Honest,
that's all right.
And opening up about kind of some personal stuff. Thank you. Before we finish, kind of Andy and some guys are going to come up. We're going to just finish with a quick song. Just to kind of sum up, what I want to get across is that actually this isn't weird. We're not kind of talking about some weird abstract thing in praying. We don't have to kind of get ourselves worked up into a place where we're like, okay, I think I'm ready to pray. Actually, prayer is normal. Prayer is what God invites us to do. He says, I have rescued you. I've sent my son to die for you, to bring you into my family. Now, come on. Let's communicate. Let's build relationship here. And so prayer is vital. It's so important for our growth. It's so important for our walk with Jesus. We have to pray. Prayer is exciting. And when we pray biblically, our faith grows, just as Bo was sharing at the end there. When we kind of pray kind of in terms of how Jesus sets out his prayer, actually our faith grows and our perspective changes and things happen. Things happen. So what I want to do is, just as I was kind of thinking, this is kind of a weird, how do you respond to it? How do I finish this off? What I want to do is, these guys are just going to play a song, and I want to give us permission to not sing. I think Andy's going to be okay if he's the only person singing. What I want us to do is if you are here and you really struggle with prayer, you don't pray, or you really struggle with prayer, you don't really know, I don't know what to say, that sort of thing. What I want you to do is I want to encourage you, while this is all kind of fresh in your head, to pray now, which have some time to just pray, and just celebrate who God is, just celebrate what He's done and who you are in Him. And you can use the words that are going to come up, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. You can use the words that are going to come up as kind of fuel to prayer, or just go with it. I just want to encourage you. Here's some time. Let's pray. Others of us here, it's not very often you kind of get some time that somebody else sets aside for you to pray, and that's what I'm giving you now. We're just going to just pray. And maybe you've got something that you are kind of praying through. You'd actually like some other people to kind of pray with you in that. Then why don't you use that time now, grab some of the people from your community group and say, can you just pray with me for this? And we'll just pray together. And if you are not a Christian here, and maybe this whole kind of idea of praying and talking to God freaks you out, that's fine. And you have permission to not do anything. That's okay. But what I want to encourage you to do is just consider, strongly consider what we read in Ephesians earlier, what Ephesians, the Bible, describes you, but also how it describes the glorious hope, the glorious work that Jesus has done, and the amazing news that could be true for you. And if you've got any questions about them, then come and ask me, ask one of the elders here, or even if you go up to anybody else in this church and say, are you a Christian? What's all this prayer stuff about? And I'm sure that they will talk to you about it. So Andy's going to sing a song. Do you want to stand up? And it's just a kind of a free space to pray. Whatever's on your heart, if you want to pray for someone, go and pray for them. If you want to grab somebody else to pray with you, then do that. Or if you just want to just begin to enter into this a deeper prayer life and just begin to express your heart to God, then let's do that now.